very special. We're the only Sephardic organization that I know that has as its base Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah, that it's in Yerushalayim. This is our spiritual home. For many, many years, we had a wonderful relationship with the community in Mexico. During the 1980s, especially, many, many students from Mexico went to our trips in the summer. And it's one of my dreams to revive that, to bring all of you to Israel, to stay at our center, because there's nothing like it, to stay right upstairs from the Kotel in a very beautiful place, a historic place. It's not just some other building in Yerushalayim, but it's the home of actually the rabbi that I'm going to speak primarily about tonight. It's where he was born. It's where he was raised. It's where he learned and studied, and then where he taught before he became a very, very important person in Am Yisrael and the Jewish people in the pre-state of Israel, and then for the first 5 years of the state of Israel until he passed away in 1953. And I'm talking about Rabbi Ben Zion Meir Chai Uziel, Harav Uziel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was one of the great, great Chachamim, Sephardic Chachamim of all time, of the 20th century, arguably, without a doubt, in terms of leadership, the greatest and one of the biggest Talmidei Chachamim we had. Rabbi Uziel was born and raised in the old city of Yerushalayim, just a few moments, a few steps from the building that we today call Merkaz HaSfaradi, the Sephardic Educational Center. And there in that very building, there was once upon a time the Talmud Torah Sfaradi, the Sephardic Talmud Torah. There was also Yeshivat Tiferet Yerushalayim, which was the Sephardic yeshiva that produced some of the great rabbis of Jerusalem, of Israel. It was located there. This was before the since famous yeshiva that opened afterwards, that's still there in Yerushalayim, the Yeshivat Porat Yosef. And where Rav Uziel was later, of course, affiliated when he was the Rav Rashi of Eretz Yisrael, of the land of Israel, before the state of Israel was declared in 1948. What I want to do tonight is not necessarily give a long biography or history of Rav Uziel. One of my critiques very often of Sephardic books that talk about Rabbanim is that, I mean, maybe it's something that's within us that Sfaradim, we love stories. We love biographies. We love to hear stories. So we love to hear stories about our Chachamim, their lives, where they lived, what they ate, how they dressed. Did they sing in Arabic and Ladino? These are all very beautiful ideas. And I'm a very big fan. I love stories. But what I think is really important is not only to tell the story of Rabbi Uziel, but to tell his story through his teachings, to teach his Torah, to teach his wisdom. What I'd like to do with you tonight, I have so many different shiurim available that I can give you on Rabbi Uziel, his positions on halacha, his positions on politics, his positions on a whole number of things, you know, just a little bit of his story. I don't think there was another Rishon LeZion, another Sephardic chief rabbi or Ashkenazi chief rabbi who has the biography, who could say in their biography, when I look, when you were reading my biography as a rabbi and I look at the things I've done, it's very little compared to when I think about Rabbi Uziel, what he achieved in his lifetime. He started out after studying in Yerushalayim, in the old city, in, like I said, our very beautiful building that today still has his photograph. We have many of his archives and manuscripts. We're going to be building a Sephardic museum on the campus that's going to have a special exhibit dedicated to Rabbi Uziel, to his moreshet, to his history, to his teachings, etc. Once he left there in 1911, he went to Yafo, Tel Aviv, where there was a famous Ashkenazi rabbi named Rav Kook, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. They worked together, and he was the Chacham Bashi, the Sephardic chief rabbi of Yafo Tel Aviv, which at the time was the new, Tel Aviv was the new and up-and-coming city that they were eventually building in what became the new found state of Israel. So it was a very important position, and this was in 1911, so that means that that was under the Ottoman Empire. Rabbi Uziel later became the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, the Rishon LeZion, pre-state of Israel, in 1939. By the time it was 1939, that means he was serving under the British mandate. And then in 1948, when it became Israel for the first 5 years of Israel, until he unfortunately passed away in 1953, he was young, he was only 73 years old. It was a big loss of leadership, of Torah, of vision for the state of Israel and for the Jewish people. Then he was serving under the state of Israel. So that means, think about it. He served in a small country like Israel. He served under three political administrations, historic administrations, the Ottoman Empire, the British Mandate, and then the new Zionist government, Medinat Israel, the state of Israel. Just to add, by the way, in case that wasn't enough experience going from one leadership to the other, he also left in the early 1920s. He left Eretz Israel to Salonika, where he served for 2.5-3 years as their chief rabbi. So he even had experience, despite being born in Israel and lived his entire life in Israel, he also had experience being a rabbi in the diaspora. So it's an incredible, just that resume alone of leadership is unprecedented. There's nothing like it. He was the author of over 30 books of halakha, of philosophy, of essays, of writings, of speeches. And what I want to do with you tonight is to study something of his that's quite relevant to what's where we are on the calendar, where we are on the Jewish calendar, and what's going on in our Jewish world, particularly in Israel today. As we look at our calendar, just yesterday, we celebrated the first day of the month of Tammuz, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. This month of Tammuz leads us into, in a few weeks, a fast day, the 17th of Tammuz, Shivasar B'Tammuz. 3 weeks later, another fast day, the most famous or infamous fast day, Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. There's a three-week period that some observe entirely as mourning. Sfaradim observe the week of Tisha B'Av. Some observe from Rosh Chodesh Av, 9 days. But we know that the moment we hear, just like when we hear the month of Elul, we think of the beautiful Slichot. When we think of the month of Tishrei, we think of the sound of the shofar. We think of Yom Kippur, Sukkot. When we hear Kislev, we think Chanukah and the celebrations of Chanukah. When we say Mishnichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, when it's the month of Adar, we celebrate with joy. When we hear the month of Tammuz and the month of Av, it's not so happy. It's not a pleasant time. It's a time where we pause, fast for 2 days, once on the 17th of Tammuz and again on the 9th of Av. And those fast days are not like Yom Kippur, which is a day just of asking for forgiveness and reflection, but they're actually days, especially Tisha B'Av, of Avelut, of mourning, where we are collectively mourning the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, the loss of the temple, the loss of our independence, the loss of our land. This is embedded deeply within us for 2,000 years, and on an annual basis, from the month of Tammuz to the month of Av, to Tisha B'Av, we sit and we ask questions. Why did it happen? How did we lose our land? How were we exiled? And we say three times a year in the Tefillah, in Musaf, of the Chagim, of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, we say, Eloheinu v'le'avoteinu, mipnei chataeinu galinu me'artzeinu. We were exiled because of our own sins. We take the blame. It's always very, very easy to blame others and to say all of the problems of the world are the fault of our enemies, of those outside, across our borders. If it weren't for the Babylonians, we would still have the first Beit HaMikdash. If it weren't for the Romans, we would still have the second Beit HaMikdash. Yes, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first temple. And yes, Titus destroyed the second temple. But in our history, we internally take the blame. We say they were the ones that God sent or that history sent to actually bring about the destruction. But who caused that? Who paved the way, unfortunately, to make it available for them to come and destroy our temple and exile us from our land? Not the Babylonians and not the Romans, us, we, the Jewish people. And so what I want to do here is to read with you an essay by Rav Uziel where he tries to correct these problems. And I'll put it in context for you in a moment, why his essay is so important. He wrote it in 1951, just 2 years before he died. But if you print it today, word by word, it is as relevant today, maybe more so than it was when he wrote this in Hegione Uziel, in one of his books of philosophy, 1951. You know, this is a significant year, by the way, in terms of Rav Uziel, because his anyo, the day of his passing, the Nahala, is observed on Hafdalid Be'elul, in a few months, on the 24th of Elul, just a few days before Rosh Hashanah. This year will be the 70th anniversary of the passing of Rav Uziel. We actually, the Sephardic Educational Center, are going to be having several events, some on Zoom and some in person. I would love for all of you to participate if you can on the Zoom ones, or if you'd like to come to Jerusalem, we're going to be having some events there. Bukhima Baim, you're welcome to come and join us. But it's important to study his Torah every day, but particularly there's an emotional element to the fact that this year is the 70th anniversary of the passing of this great Chacham, Rav Uziel. And he wrote an essay, which I'd like to teach tonight, because I think it's very, very relevant and in the spirit not only of the month of Tammuz and the month of Av, but particularly if we follow the news of the deep divide that's going on today in Medinat Yisrael and the state of Israel. And I don't, of course, want to get into the politics and turn this into a discussion about that, but we're all well aware that Israel is involved currently in a very, very deep controversy that's dividing the country. And there are factions that have really, really become very vocal and sometimes, unfortunately, physical with violence. And of course, we, unfortunately, Am Yisrael, have been experts at having divisions that divide us. Rabbi Uziel addressed this from the time he became the Chacham Vashi until 2 weeks before he died. There's his very famous opening speech that he gave in 1911 when he talked about his desire for Achdut, for unifying Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. And throughout his life, throughout his career, he was a big advocate of saying, we're back in the land of Israel. We shouldn't even have these divisions any longer. It's not to erase Sephardic history and Ashkenazi history, but he said, Sfaradim and Ashkenazim will marry each other. We were going to become one community. Let's take both minhagim and create minhag Eretz Yisrael, a new way of being Jewish, where it's not exclusively one or the other. We don't need these divisions. He said this from 1911 all the way to 2 weeks before he died, where he wrote a very, very beautiful, what's called Tzava'a Ruchanit, an ethical will that he left. I'll read a little piece of it to you at the end of this shiur. But in 1951, he published an essay which is very powerful. As an introduction to that essay, I want to read to you a Mishnah, just two sentences from a Mishnah, which I think very, very powerfully put an accent on what I'm saying about how important in our history it is that we look inside and say, it's not enough to point fingers and say our enemies are the ones who want to destroy us and that's our problem. We know we have enemies and we know that they've sought to destroy us again and again and again. Our history, like Rabbi Uziel wrote in another essay, is sometimes etched in blood. Pogroms and expulsions, the Shoah, the Holocaust, which he wrote a lot about and was deeply, deeply sensitive to and very, very involved with the whole world of what was going on during the Shoah while he was in Eretz Yisrael. all the way through, Rabbi Uziel wrote a lot about all of this. And we're aware that we have enemies from outside. But listen to what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit tells us that for the two fast days that we're about to experience in the next coming month, the 17th of Tammuz, Shiva Asar Tammuz, followed by an even more difficult fast day that lasts from sundown to the following night, sundown. It's a long fast day. It's a difficult fast day, not only because of the length, not only because of the summer months and it's hot, but also because the theme of Tisha B'Av is the day of Avelut. It's a day of mourning. And the Mishnah says, five things, Chamisha Devarim, Iru et Avotenu b'Shivasar b'Tammuz, five things happened on Shivasar b'Tammuz, and five happened on Tisha B'Av. Now, numbers 2 through 5 in both lists, Shivasar b'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, numbers 2, 3, 5 are all things that our enemies did to us. Somebody burnt the Torah on Shivasar b'Tammuz. The temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. It lists, the Mishnah lists numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5, both for Shivasar b'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah tells us what our enemies did to us. But it first says, what's the first thing that happened on each one of these days? It says that on Shiv'asar b'Tammuz, what happened? It was when we built the golden calf and the luchot, the tablets of the Aseret HaDibrot, of the Torah, when Moshe broke them. That's the first thing that happened on Shiv'asar b'Tammuz. Then, fast forward to Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av? We just read about it in the Torah, in the Parashat Shlach Lecha. What was the story that Parashat Shlach Lecha told us? The story when 12 leaders that we called spies, Miraglim, were sent to Eretz Yisrael to scout out the land. 10 of the 12 came back with a negative report. They caused the people to cry and said, Israel is too difficult. We can't go there. In fact, take us back to Egypt. And that night it was dark, and all night long the people cried and begged and said, we're afraid. We don't want to fulfill the promise that was given from Abraham Avinu to go to the land. On that night, it was decreed that the Jewish people, that generation will remain in the desert another 39 years and die until comes a new generation that comes in. What date was that on the calendar, according to the Mishnah? According to the Talmud, Tisha B'Av. That night was Tisha B'Av. So think about it. Both of these fast days, the first thing that happened that was bad had nothing to do with Romans or Babylonians or Canaanites or anyone else. It happened to do with us. We built the golden calf. That was one violation of the covenant with God, worshiping idols. And then, in the face of God wanting to take us and lead us to a promised land, to freedom, we listened to negative voices, cried, and imagine we wanted to take the whole story of the Torah and press rewind and say, all of what we just celebrated, leaving Egypt, receiving the Torah, no, take us back to the slave pits of Egypt. That means, mipnei chataenu, because of what we've done. We're a very brave people because we look inside and we see what's wrong. With that in mind, I would like to read to you pieces of a very, very beautiful essay, which I had the privilege of studying many, many times. I was so moved by it that I, like I do with many of Rabbi Uziel's writings, which were written in Hebrew and are only reach a very limited audience, those who could read the kind of Hebrew that he writes. And I sit and I spend the time translating. I'm working on a full set of translations that I hope Bezrat Hashem will be a book that will be published with the translations in Hebrew, from Hebrew to English. The moment you wonderful people could find me somebody who could help do that for Rabbi Uziel's writings, take my translations and maybe put them into Spanish. And then more people will be able to read them as well. It's beautiful to read it in the original. But when people cannot, for whatever reason, chaval, as we say in Hebrew, it's unfortunate for it to remain only in a handful of people, rabbis or others who know the Hebrew language very well. And even Rabbi Uziel's language in Hebrew is a very, very poetic, difficult Hebrew. So I translated this into Hebrew. The title of this shiur that he gave is called Ha'emet v'hashalom ehavu. You shall love truth and peace. Emet v'shalom. Think about those two words. And he tells us, we shall love truth and peace. Now, these are not Rabbi Uziel's words. These are the words of a Navi, of a prophet. Which prophet? One of the prophets that was a Navi during the time when the Jewish people came back from Galut, came back from the exile, after being exiled and losing the temple and living in Babylonian exile 70 years. Now the Jewish people return to their land to build the second Beit HaMikdash. You have to understand why Rabbi Uziel felt very close. This was on his wall in his office. The only thing that he had hanging on the wall was a little sign with those three words. Ha'emet v'hashalom ehavu. Love, truth, and peace. Why was this so relevant to Rabbi Uziel? Because think about it. Just like the Navi Zechariah was a Navi, a leader of his people during the time when the Jewish people were coming back from Galut, from exile, to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild, Rabbi Uziel was born in the land of Israel that was not sovereign to the Jewish people. They did not rule it. But he lived during the period of the rebuilding of the third Jewish state. We had the first one with the first Beit HaMikdash, the second one, and now here's the third Jewish state. Not after 70 years of exile, but after almost 2,000 years of exile, comes Rabbi Uziel, sees this very beautiful quote about Va'emet V'Hashalom Ahavu and says, I love this quote, but there's more to it. I mentioned the fast days. We look at Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, it's not a happy day. We look at Tisha B'Av, and it's especially not a happy day. We also have two other fast days on our calendar that are also connected to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. We have the third day of Tishrei, the day after Rosh Hashanah, Tzom Gedaliah, and we have the 10th of Tevet, Asara B'Tevet. That means we have what's called Arba'at Tzomot HaChorban, four fast days that in one way or another mourn the destruction, the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, losing the land, losing the temple, losing our independence, our homeland, was devastating to the Jewish people. It's miraculous and ingenious that we were able to reorganize and survive in the diaspora. That's even before I talk about all the persecution we went through. But listen to what the Navi Zechariah says, these three words, Ha'emet v'Hashalom Ehavu. I'm going to read to you the full pasuk. It's a verse in the book of Zechariah, chapter 8, verse 19. Look it up, write it down. It's a beautiful pasuk. Perek Chet, pasuk Yotet, the Navi Zechariah. He's one of the Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, one of the three Nevi'im of the return to the land of Israel. And what does he say? He quotes God, and he says, I want you to imagine for a moment, you know, these days of mourning, these fast days, you know that they're going to become one day happy days. They're going to become days of celebration. Ko amar Hashem Tzvaot. The verse says, this is what Hashem, what God said. Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast of the fourth month, which is the month of Tammuz, right? They're not called Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and all that. They're not used those names. They're just given some of the particular month. Tammuz is the fourth month. Av is the fifth month. The Tishrei is the seventh. And Tevet is the tenth. So in the Navi, in the Pasuk, this is the only place these fasts are mentioned in the Tanakh. Tzom HaRevi'i, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaShvi'i, V'Tzom HaAsiri. The fast of the fourth month, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the fast of the fifth month, Tisha B'Av, of the seventh month, Tzom Gedalia, and of the tenth month, Asara B'Tevet, Ye LeBet Yehuda L'Sason U'L'Simcha U'L'Mo'adim Tovim, shall become for the Jewish people days of joy and happiness and festivals. They're going to become days of happiness. What a beautiful vision. Could you imagine? Instead of fasting on Tisha B'Av and sitting on the floor with ashes on our head and crying and reading all these keynote, we're going to have a celebration. It's going to become Yom Tov. But how does it end? It says, on the condition of one thing, how are you, the people in Israel, going to take these fast days? How is Am Yisrael, now that you're going back to your land, how are you going to turn these days of avelut, of mourning, into days of happiness? By reversing what you did wrong. And how will you do that? Rabbi Uziel's three favorite words. V'aymet v'ashalom ehavu. Love, truth, and peace. And so Rabbi Uziel begins his essay by saying, I'm quoting, and I want to write about this. Why? Because it's very relevant. It's very relevant. Now, this is significant that he wrote this essay not in 1911 when he first became a leader, but in 1951. 1951, by the time 1951 comes about, like I said, he had been a leader in Eretz Yisrael under the Ottoman, under the British, now under the State of Israel, and he had been in the diaspora. He had seen a lot happen during those years. He had seen the Ottoman Empire become the British Mandate. He saw World War II. He saw the Holocaust of 6 million people. He was there when they declared the State of Israel, May 14th, 1948. He stood right there in Independence Hall. He saw all of this. He saw history, but he also saw something else. Early on into the state, 1951, we just celebrated the 75th anniversary of the State of Israel. 1951, the State of Israel, the newly declared state, was 3 years old. It was a little baby. Rabbi Uziel already saw some very disturbing trends, so he wrote this essay, from which I want to now read to you some excerpts. He says, from here, from the words of Zechariah, we learn that Geulat Yisrael, the redemption of the Jewish people, is contingent upon their loving truth and peace. Every Jew has to make it their business to love truth, to be people of truth, and to love peace. And he starts out by saying, the God of Israel, I'm not reading the whole essay, just pieces. He says, the God of Israel is a God of truth and peace. Who is the God that we believe in? God's Torah is a book of truth. One of God's name is Shalom. This is what the rabbis tell us. Gadol HaShalom, great is peace, for the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shalom. Why? Because there is a pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, chapter 6, verse 24, that says, and God was called Hashem Shalom, that this is one of God's name, is Shalom. And truth is one of the hallmarks to be people who are a people who love truth, is one of the hallmarks. Now, from here, he says, loving truth and peace. Okay, let's break these ideas down for a moment. Truth, loving truth. Whose truth? My truth or yours? When Rabbi Uziel says that we should be unified, when he talks about achdut, unity, he doesn't talk about achidut, uniformity. It doesn't mean that everybody thinks the same. He's a big believer in democracy. You don't have to be a modern student of modern politics of democracies to believe in democracy. As a Jew, the most democratic book we have is called the Gemara, the Talmud. It's a book of arguments. It's a book of machloket, of dispute. But like we learn in this coming week's parasha, Parashat Korach, what do we learn from this parasha? How to dispute or how not to dispute? The Mishnah and Pirkei Avot tells us, Kol machloket shehi l'shem shamayim, sofa leitkayem. Any dispute which is done l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven, which means that you have in your heart a good reason. You're not just looking to win. You're not looking to impose your views by force. You're looking, you're arguing because you believe this is the right way. In the end, the Mishnah says, that machloket will be resolved. And a machloket that's not l'shem shamayim, if it's a machloket, if it's a dispute that's just about power, which is about ego, which is just about who wins and who loses, that's not the authentic Jewish way of arguing. And the rabbis give us an example. They say, what's the example of a machloket that's not? I'm going out of order. What's the example of a machloket, of a dispute that's not for the sake of heaven? The machloket of Korach. Why? Because Korach, Moshe's cousin, it was just about a power grab. He was jealous. He wanted to be in charge. But then they tell us, what's the example of a machloket l'shem shamayim? Two rabbis, two schools, the most famous disputes that existed, Shammai and Hillel, Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. This is considered machloket l'shem shamayim. Rabbi Uziel quotes at length from the Gemara, and he says, one of the most powerful expressions of loving truth and peace is what the Gemara says. He says, come in here. Although Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel disagreed on several issues related to family matters, they had disputes of halacha about how properly to get married and all sorts of halachic issues, such as rival wives and sisters, an outdated bill of divorce, etc. They had all of these arguments. Nonetheless, Bet Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Bet Hillel, nor did Bet Hillel refrain from marrying women from Bet Shammai. This serves to teach us that despite their differences, they practiced love and friendship between them. As it is said, you shall love truth and peace. Rabbi Uziel quotes this Gemara about Shammai and Hillel and says, what's our role model? Who do we look up to as examples of how to behave? The two greatest rabbis who completely disagreed on everything. They were different people. They were different personalities. They had different kinds of students. They appealed to different audiences. They were as far from one another as East and West. Yet their children married each other in order to teach us as the community v'ahemet v'ashalom ehavu, that putting truth and peace came above everything else. Now listen to what Rabbi Uziel says, continues. He says, Am Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is commanded to live by the two great pillars of truth and peace. Now he gets specific, 1951. It sounds as if he could write it in the newspaper tomorrow morning. He says, these pillars, emet and shalom, truth and peace, are especially needed in Medinat Israel, in the state of Israel, for truth and peace, and only truth and peace, can help create an atmosphere of pleasantness and tranquility throughout the land. What kind of country do we want to build? We want to build a vibrant, healthy democracy, but we don't want to build a democracy that's going to turn into violence in the streets. That we don't want. We don't want to build a democracy that's going to turn into arguments that lead to the primary reason we give for why the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Sinat chinam, hatred of one another. That we don't want. And so he says, each individual in Israel, I'm quoting him now, must internalize truth and peace. We have to have it within us. And he says, we have to internalize truth and peace, thus fostering a true love for our country and for its internal peace. And he goes on to say, this is in 1951, long before Israel was thinking about signing peace treaties with the Arabs. He says, this internal peace within Israel will ultimately lead to our making peace with all nations and kingdoms. He says, we can't make peace with the outside world until we have peace at home. And then he says, let us place this message in our hearts, removing from our midst any sinat chinam, divisiveness, or hatred. Then, he says, let's make sure that we love and respect people who are not exactly like us. From this same place of genuine love, let's conduct ourselves in the paths of true peace, respecting each other's opinions and feelings, as well as respecting the differences amongst the factions in our country. This sentence alone, let's, from a place of love, conduct ourselves with peace, respecting each other's opinions and feelings, and respecting the differences amongst the factions in our country. If I had the opportunity to go to the Knesset in Jerusalem, and they asked me to put up one sentence, this is the one that I would put. I would etch it, put it up in writing, and say, everybody, all members of Knesset, all members of the country in Israel, and all members of the Jewish people around the world, whether we live in Israel or not, should all take the words of this great Chacham. Now, the reason why it's so important for us to study this, and I'll read you a little bit more about it, but I want to pause and discuss, is because Rabbi Uziel was a great Talmid Chacham. He wrote 9 volumes of Shelot u'Tshuvot, of Responsa, that are groundbreaking works in Halakha, far ahead of his time. I would be happy at another evening to give a shiur about the halachic positions and opinions of Rabbi Uziel. He was far ahead of his time. He was a great, great, great thinker. But he was more than just a rabbi who knew the law. He was more than just even a posek who knew how to apply the law. He was a leader. You know, there's a very beautiful film that was made over 10 years ago, two television episodes about Rabbi Uziel. And when I was watching that movie the first time about 13 years ago, I got a copy of the movie, and the opening scene of the movie, there's a rabbi who says something. He says, there were great, great rabbis ever since Rabbi Uziel died. But what made Rabbi Uziel the greatest of rabbis? He said, Waya ishiut, he was a personality. Manhig, he was a leader. Now, who said that? Somebody that I had the privilege of meeting only later in his life. But you know, he was for 25 years a rabbi in Mexico. His name is Rabino Abraham Shalem, Zichrono Libracha. I don't know if you've heard of him. If you haven't, I would be very happy to teach about him as well. I was so enthralled. I didn't know. I saw him interviewed. He was one of the great students, one of the last students of Rabbi Uziel. He died in the year 2014. I was lucky enough to become very close to him personal, and his family, after Rabbi Shalem passed away, donated to our Bet Midrash, to our library in Yerushalayim, a very large selection of his books, of his library. He had a beautiful library, including books autographed personally by Rabbi Uziel to him. He was a close student. He received his smicha from Rabbi Uziel. He was very, very close with him. He said, Rabbi Uziel was like a Navi, like a prophet. He was a leader. And I think this is one of the things that we have to understand about rabbis when we talk about Sephardic Chachamim. There were great Chachamim. Rabbi Uziel stood out above all of them, not only for being a very, very wise person. His books of halacha and philosophy are magnificent, brilliant. When I'm reading him, it's almost like I'm reading the Rambam in the modern age. He's so deep, his philosophy, his thinking. But his leadership, he gathered on November 29th, 1939, there was an election. You know, there's going to be an election now of chief rabbis. It's not supposed to be in the summer. The politics of Israel already pushed it off to sometime in November. See, this was something Rabbi Uziel would not look upon happily, that people who are, you know, vying for the power of being the chief rabbi based on being related to somebody, somebody's brother, the previous rabbi's brother, somebody in the Knesset's brother, it's all very, very, very political. You know, Rabbi Uziel is the only Rishon LeZion to be unanimously elected, appointed chief rabbi. There was no opponents. No one could come up against him because he was not only such a great Talmid Chacham, but he was such a leader and such a gentle person, somebody who cared so much about people. He wrote at length about the plight of women, orphans, widows, converts, what he wrote about Gerut, Giyur, one of the biggest problems in halacha that we have in the Jewish world today. It should not be such a big problem. If we followed the writings of Rabbi Uziel, the problems would go away because he saw problems and said, it's not my job to create problems. It's my job to solve problems. But more than just being the great Talmid Chacham, he was a diplomat. He was a leader. And he told this gathering of rabbis when they had this election in 1939, he said, the most important things for you are, there are five things that you have to uphold. Hamishpat, you have to know the laws ben adam lamakom and ben adam lechavero. He was very, very adamant that it's important for rabbis to not only the ritual laws, ben adam lamakom, between us and God, but ben adam lechavero, all of the laws of tzedakah, the laws of marriage, divorce, these things were, he said, the laws of finances, dinei mamonot. He said, we're not building a Jewish community. We're building a country. And by building a country, what is the rabbi's role going to be here? Just to tell you how to put on tefillin? He says, that was the diaspora. Here in Israel, the rabbi has to have a bigger voice. He has to be part of what Mishpat Ibri, what the laws of Parashat Mishpatim say. That was the first thing. He says, the rabbi has to know Mishpat. The second thing, what was the second thing on his list? Achdut HaOmah, the unity of the people, unity of the nation. Number three, education. A rabbi should be involved in the educational system to make sure that Jewish schools are learning proper subjects, Torah, and what they call general studies. He did not believe in Torah umada, that there's Torah and there's science. He says it's one. God created one world. We understand the world. We believe in God through the Torah, and we understand the world through medicine, through science, through technology. These are all part of the world that God created. He didn't believe in the idea of like what some people talk and they say there's Olam HaTorah. He says there's such a thing as Olam HaTorah. When you look in the Torah, God created Bereshit Bara Elohim. He created the world, Ta'olam. The Torah is in the world. We have to live within that world. So education, he said, a rabbi has to be very involved with what kind of education kids are going to be. He said, on one hand, it's not possible, it's lo yitachen, that Jewish kids are going to live in Eretz Yisrael and are not going to have a Jewish education, are not going to know the Torah. But at the same time, it's not lo yitachen, it shouldn't be that Jewish kids should study only in yeshivot and not know how to read, not know mathematics, not know science, not know language. That's not possible either. So that was number three. Number four, nitzigut, representing the Torah, the Ha'am, and the people. A rabbi has to be a diplomat, an ambassador of the Torah. Number five, caps it off with Darkei Shalom, the path of peace. And so these five pillars, these five principles, directly relate to what he's teaching in this essay. And he gives us much to think about. These three words, Emet, V'Shalom, V'Havu. Do we really love truth and peace? Are we willing to argue with Derech Eretz? Are we willing to have conversations and to respect one another? This is what a leader demands of us. It was more than just opening the book. And he said, during this period of time, the 17th of Tammuz, the 9th of Av, we sit. It's not enough to just fast and mourn and put ashes on our head. Like the Rambam himself says, these days, like Shivasar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, serve as days of reflection of what we did wrong and what we're currently doing wrong. Without that, to cry for the Beit HaMikdash, without trying to repair what was wrong, has no value. And so Rabbi Uziel wrote this essay because he wanted to encourage, not only on Tisha B'Av, 365 days a year, from the Knesset to the Beit Knesset, from the streets to school to workplace, respect between people, a conversation that would not lead to violence, that would not lead to insults, that would not lead to terrible representations of the Jewish people in any form of leadership, school teachers, politicians, rabbis, leaders. So being a leader is the responsibility to make the society a better place than it is. You know, I mentioned Rabbi Shalem, and Rabbi Shalem, his student, had something very, very beautiful. And I want to read it to you, and then I'm going to wrap up. Rabbi Shalem is really a direct student of Rabbi Uziel, because listen to what he said. You know, when we talk about Ha'emet v'ashalom ehavu, there's another beautiful pasuk in the Torah, in Sefer Breshit. God tells Avraham that the purpose and mission of the Jewish people is going to be v'shamru derech Hashem. They shall observe the path of God, la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat, to perform charity and justice. Charity, justice. Rabbi Uziel wrote a lot about this as well. Charity and justice, truth, peace. This is the language of the Torah. This is especially Musar HaNevi'im. This is the ethics of the Nevi'im. And so listen to what Rabbi Shalem writes. It's exactly in the spirit of his teacher. He says, what does it mean, Derech Hashem, the way of God? He says, the way of God and the belief of God is about doing charity and justice. He says, it's not enough to treat the Torah as a dry constitution. If humanity, he's not here, Rabbi Shalem goes global. He doesn't just talk about the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael and Medinat Yisrael, the way Rabbi Uziel. Now he goes global. He says, if humanity will not blend charity and justice into their achievements and not work towards assuring truth, equality, and the right of existence for all human beings created, B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God, without discrimination based on color or religion, then humanity will impose itself and on the world a destructive holocaust. Tikkun Olam B'Malchut Shaddai, to bring a better world under God will only be possible when human beings love one another and preserve one another's rights, all of which can be achieved by performing tzedakah u'mishpat, for it is these values that I desire, says God. This is Rabbi Shalem, the student of Rabbi Uziel. So how beautiful to see the continuity of that teaching. And many of his other students, behind David Alevi, also wrote extensively about this. This is the voice that many of us are trying to bring back. These voices, the voices of bringing Achdut to Am Yisrael, of unity, not dividing, but trying to bring together, bringing people together, not looking for divisions. Rabbi Uziel was not involved in politics. He never presided over a political party. He had a lot of political experience because somebody who worked with the Ottoman Empire, the British Mandate, and then the Knesset, and was also a rabbi in the diaspora for a few years of a community, he had a lot of political experience. But he was not a politician. He didn't preside over any particular faction. He didn't go out and seek votes for this party or that party. He was pure and above that, which is the way, in my book, rabbis should remain. Rabbis who've gotten into politics, great chachamim, who got into politics, unfortunately, sometimes dirtied their own name because politics is ugly. And chachamim, leaders like the chief rabbis, must be above politics. The position of Rishon LeZion, of the chief rabbi, doesn't belong to this party or that party. It belongs to Masoret Yisrael, to the tradition of the Jewish people, to the Torah, to the Halakha, and to the spirit of being a leader. So listen to what Rabbi Uziel said. I want to wrap up with what he said just a few weeks before he died. He wrote this beautiful little booklet that was published, right, called When people, before they die, they write a tzava'ah, a will that they leave to their children, to their family. He wrote a tzava'ah ruchanit, a spiritual will that he left to his children and his family, the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, all of us. And here's what he said. He wrote this 70 years ago, just a few weeks before he died. I'm only going to read to you a little piece of it. It's exactly coming from the spirit of the essay that he spoke, that he wrote about loving truth and peace. Now he tells, he's giving us, his children, you and I, any of us who read this, he's giving us instructions on how we should live. Preserve with absolute care the peace of our nation and of our state. And what does he say again? As it is written, you shall love truth and peace. Meaning this was a phrase with him all the way to the last days of his life. He says, because disputes and divisiveness are our most dangerous enemies. The worst enemy of the Jewish people, that which we say can bring down the Beit HaMikdash, the power of Sinat Chinam has the power to destroy the temple, right? By contrast, he says, peace and unity are the eternal foundations for the national continuity of Beit Yisrael. Therefore, remove all causes of divisiveness and disputes from our camp and our state, and place in their stead all factors that will lead to peace and unity amongst us. I long to open the newspaper to read online. Every morning, I hope and pray that I will read words like this on the Times of Israel, on the Jerusalem Post, on Yediot Achronot. I pray every morning and say, well, I wake up, instead of reading that one person insulted the other, that one person said something or wrote something and spoke with language that is completely the opposite of everything Rabbi Uziel writes, I pray to see that I'm going to wake up one morning and I'm going to read words like this. Let me just show you something. Just so I don't get disappointed, because I never find these words, unfortunately, in the newspaper anywhere. I find the opposite. So I pray out of a little sidur, little Sephardic sidur called Rinat Yisrael. And this Sephardic Sidur, which was published in the 1950s in Israel, it says this Sidur in Hebrew, every one of you, if you own this Sidur of Rinat Yisrael, HaSidur HaZeh Mukdash LeZichro Shel Hai Gavra, this Sidur is dedicated to the memory of the great chief rabbi, Rishon LeZion, Rabbi Uziel. And what do they have here? They dedicated the Sidur to him, to his memory, and they have two paragraphs from where? From here. So I always say, if I go on my iPad or my computer and I read the news and I don't find these beautiful words like Rabbi Uziel, at least in my Siddur every morning, I could find them and I could read them there. But I would love that it would not just be here in the Siddur. In our society, in our communities around the world, the teachings of Sephardic Chachamim are beautiful, not only because of the heritage, not only because of the glory of Sfaradim, not only because of the beautiful recipes and music and food and culture that we have, but because many, many of our Chachamim, I focused on one tonight, because I think his words are so potent and powerful and relevant to everything going on in the world today. But many, many of our Sephardic Chachamim were characterized with that the ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness, and all of the path of the Torah is towards peace. We know that we have many enemies in the world. We know that there are many who do not like us, many who hate us. Anti-Semitism is on the rise all over the place, here in the United States, all over the world. It's very disturbing to see people walking with, like we saw last week in front of all places, Disney World in Florida. There were people walking with flags with swastikas, as if we're the Nazi party in the 1930s in Germany. Here in America, it's very frightening to see the rise in hate speech all over the internet. You hear hate speech coming from leaders, from politicians, from people who justify the use of hate speech to divide people. Comes a rabbi like Rabbi Uziel, who was a top flight Talmid Chacham, one of the most brilliant halachic scholars. His head, what he knew up here, I mean, I think he forgot more than most of us will ever know in our lives. He forgot. In his, maybe in his older years, he forgot more Torah than we would ever know. I'm not sure he forgot anything, but whatever he forgot is more than we'll collectively know. He was a genius, Talmid Chacham, wrote the most beautiful Shelot Utshuvot, works of philosophy, of halacha, of thinking, was a diplomat, spoke several languages. In 1947, when the United Nations Commission on Palestine, as they called it, to build a Jewish state came. He wrote a speech, Rabbi Uziel, in Hebrew. Somebody translated it for him into English. And he read it, spoke it in English in front of the United Nations Committee. Rabbi Shalem, who I mentioned, who was a rabbi in Mexico for 25 years, Rabbi Shalem told me that he was present at that speech in 1947. When Rabbi Uziel was speaking, and he said in front of them were diplomats from the United Nations who were in English saying, when they heard Rabbi Uziel speak, they said, we feel like it sounds like a prophet who's speaking. It sounds like a prophet, like a Navi, who's standing in front of us, dressed in his beautiful robe, speaking these words. It sounds like he stepped out of the Bible. Now, it's more than just the language. It's also the tone. Who was he? He was a man of peace. And I hope and pray that all of us during this month of Tammuz, during the month of Av, that we should have the zuchut, the merit of fulfilling his words, Rabbi Uziel's words, that were based on the words of Zechariah. Haemet v'ashalom ehavu, love, truth, and peace. And the power lies within us to take Tisha B'Av and turn it from a day of ashes and mourning and sitting on the floor and turning it into a day of sason of simcha, of joy and celebration. It's hard to connect joy and happiness with Tisha B'Av. But that's what the Navi said. And when that Navi said that, he was coming to a community that was trying to have a Jewish state the second time. Rabbi Uziel took the same words and said, this is the third time. Not a Navi, but he was a leader. He was a manhig. And his words, I think, are part of what brings for me pride in the Sephardic tradition, is to know that we had a rabbi like this, one of our own, who cared about Achdut Ha'am, the completeness of a nation. He wasn't just there to take care of the Sephardic community. He was there to take care of Am Yisrael, the Jewish people. This is one of the great shining lights of Sephardic Judaism. I hope to have the privilege to come back and to teach you about him some more, some of his works of halacha. He had a lot of things to say about electricity, about abortion, about technology, medical things, 80 years ahead of his time. I think people weren't ready for his Piskei Halacha there. They were too forward thinking about women's issues, all the things. Certainly his halachot about conversion are the most important halachot of conversion written in the 20th century. And I wish and pray that the state of Israel would adopt those laws and bring it back to where halacha originally was. He represented the true voice of halacha. You don't have to call it moderate halacha or liberal halacha. He would never use those terms. He would say, this is the halacha. This is the way it always was. For other reasons, things changed. So with that, I want to wish all of you, even though we already celebrated Rosh Chodesh just yesterday, but I can still wish you Chodesh Tov. It should be a good month. And with prayers that maybe in a few weeks, Shivasar B'Tammuz will be a month of joy and happiness. It will be a day of joy and happiness. If not, then maybe we have until Tisha B'Av to get our act together and to love, truth, and peace, and to make Tisha B'Av a day of joy and happiness. Whatever comes out, if each of us takes these teachings of Rabbi Uziel of loving truth and peace, it's really one of the most beautiful contributions that the Sephardic tradition has made, is to say the Torah is a book of peace. It's not a book of disputes. It's not a book, certainly, of violent language. And he used the two greatest rabbis, Hillel and Shammai, as the example of how we are to live. From the Navi Zechariah through Hillel and Shammai, all the way to Rabbi Uziel, all the way to us, his children, his community, who read his words, we pray that the times of the Jewish people become people who will always have differences of opinion. That's in our DNA. We always dispute, but that we will do so with respect, with derech eretz, v'haemet v'hashalom ehavu, that we should love truth and peace. It was a pleasure and an honor being with all of you tonight. It was a pleasure meeting you. And like I said, I would love to be able to meet you one day in person. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. It was such a great cheer. Thank you for sharing such beautiful and touching ideas with us. And we would be so happy to meet you in person and to continue learning from you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Great pleasure. You know, we're in California, you're in Mexico, we're neighbors, so it's not far. Yeah. And certainly on Zoom, it's never far. So Zoom is always available. I'm happy that we're able to use this technology for this reason. And I'm happy to come back and to teach again whenever the time makes itself available for us to do that. It would be with love and with pleasure.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I want to also wish all of you continuity of what you're doing, of trying to build within your community to see young leaders. And like I said, the offer is on the table to organize a trip from your community to come to Jerusalem, to come to our center. You know, here we are on Zoom and you're in Mexico, I'm in California, but we could meet in Yerushalayim and we could sit and have a cup of coffee and a boreka, exactly where Rabbi Uziel sat and had a cup of coffee and a boreka when he was a little boy, in that courtyard, in the chatzel, the Spanish Sephardic courtyard in the old city. It's still alive, it's beautiful, and we're trying to keep its tradition and its spirit alive. I would love to have all of you there to visit, to stay there, to sleep there, eat, to learn, to study. We have a beautiful new Bet Midrash. We have a group of rabbis who study, and we named the Bet Midrash Sha'are Uziel, the Gates of Uziel. We have his photo there. So all of what I said tonight is wonderful over Zoom, but imagine studying all of this and much more in the room where it happened in Jerusalem, in the old city. So that's my offer to all of you, and I would love to follow up on that.
Pleasure. It'd be great.
Okay. So thank you again, and have a wonderful rest of your evening, and please be in touch. I look forward to it. You
too. Sure. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Good night. Bye.
Good luck with everything. Thank you. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, everyone.